and now Evangelist David Shannon.
I will be reading from James, the first chapter, verses 5 through 8. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways.
Good evening. How great it is to be a part of a congregation who has a strong future. Beautiful job leading us in our worship. You young men, we appreciate it. And we look forward to a great future for you and for us as well here at East Gadsden. I'd like to welcome all of our visitors. We're glad you're with us. We hope that you can be back with us again sometime. James, the first chapter, verses 5 through 8. Appreciate Ty reading that. Did a good job. I think it was Will Rogers, and if it wasn't Will Rogers that said this, I hope after services someone can tell me who said it. I think it was Will Rogers, and he said, you know, common sense is not very common at all. And so it is with wisdom. Wisdom is a very rare thing. As a matter of fact, it's so rare that it was even rare in the days of the apostles. And when Paul wrote to the men at Corinthians, he said to them, and 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter and verse 5, Is there not someone among you who is wise? Now, most of us probably want to believe, at least within ourselves, that we have at least some degree of wisdom. But sometimes our life, our folly that we exemplify, shows that really we have very little wisdom at all. I don't know how to ask this question to make you really think, to provoke or to motivate you to do something about it, but I wish some way I could ask this without it just being another question in another sermon. But I want you, as I ask this question, with your mental hand, to write the answer in your mind. The answer is either yes or no. Do you want to be wise? Do you want to be wiser tomorrow than you are today? Write an answer in your mind. It's really simple, either yes or no. James tells us a great deal about wisdom. And the thing that James tells us about wisdom is really pretty different from what the world will say wisdom is. Tonight, let's see what the Bible says is wisdom. Let's see where is the source of wisdom, and let's see who can obtain this wisdom. Now, when we read in James, the first chapter, in verse 5, notice it starts by saying, if any of you lack wisdom, what is wisdom? The world sometimes will tell you, now, wisdom is simply knowing how to apply knowledge. Is that as simple as wisdom is according to God? Just being able to apply knowledge? I think not. I've seen men and women who have been able to read a book, not the Bible, but just a book, and to apply it to a circumstance or a situation, but yet they still were not wise. I don't think wisdom is that simple. I've seen others say, well, wisdom is age. Once you reach a certain age, you're wise. I don't think so. I'm sure there have been men and women 90 and 100 years old to die foolish. I don't think it's just as simple as accumulating years onto our birthday. Others say wisdom is just experience. You live long enough and you experience enough and you gain from those experiences and you become wise. I don't think that's wisdom. The reason I don't think that's wisdom and the other things mentioned is because God never says those things are wisdom. As we read, if we go back to the original Greek, the fifth verse of James, the first chapter, will begin with the word but. In the original Greek, it will say, but if any of you lack wisdom. So what James is saying here is, I have mentioned some things previously that are wise. But if any of you lack that wisdom that I have previously mentioned, ask of God. So tonight we're asking the question, what is wisdom? He answers it if we'll go back and look at the previous three verses. Now these are things that we probably have not thought of as being a part of wisdom. But yet James, inspired by the Holy Spirit, says they are. Notice verse 2. We looked at these last Sunday night. Brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers or manifold or many temptations. That's wisdom. Being able to fall into temptation, overcome that temptation, and find joy in being able to overcome. That is a part of wisdom. Look at verse 3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. That's wisdom. Being able to go through trials in your faith, overcoming those trials, and through overcoming those trials, we develop patience. And two verses down, he says, not only do you develop patience, but you also develop wisdom. Look at verse 4. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. That's wisdom. Once we have decided that we want to be perfect in Jesus Christ, entire, wanting nothing, meaning that we're willing to do away with self, put aside every bit of self and take on completely Jesus Christ, being perfect in Jesus Christ, doing away with the world, away with Satan, away with self, and everything with Jesus Christ, entire, wanting nothing, that's a part of wisdom. Now those things are difficult to do. That's why James says in the 5th verse, but if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. So those are three things that James says is a part of wisdom that we should strive to fulfill in our life. Now I want to mention just quickly three other things that are found either in Psalms or Proverbs that the Word of God says is a part of wisdom that maybe we have not emphasized as being a part of wisdom. In Psalms, the 90th chapter, verse 12, it says, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. There's wisdom in knowing that our days are numbered. You see, the truth is every one of us here tonight have only a certain number of days to live. Now, I don't know what my number is. It very well could be one more day. It very well could be that I'm on zero. It very well could be that I'm going to live a few thousand more days. I don't know what my number is, but I do have a number. There's no doubt in that. I do have a number. And the psalmist says, knowing that your days are numbered and making use of every day is wisdom. Do we really think of godly wisdom as being wise with our time? We should. The psalmist says we should. Also, another part of wisdom that perhaps we have not shared strong enough to our young people and even to older than young people is found throughout Proverbs. One example is Proverbs, the 7th chapter. Much of the chapter deals with warning against prostitutes and harlots and keeping ourselves pure. The world says, that's not wisdom. The world says, that's boring. That's not the way to live. The world says the way to live is to do what feels good. Do and to live however you want to live. Are we teaching our children, our young people? Are we teaching each other? Do we really believe that when God says a part of wisdom is purity, have we emphasized it? Do we believe it? Also in Proverbs, the 19th chapter, and verse 20, it says, hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in the latter end. Do we realize that if we have stopped learning, we've lost any wisdom that we might have obtained? In God's sight, once we have stopped learning, we have become foolish. The proverb writer says, if we want to gain wisdom in the latter end, we must study, we must hear the counsel of God and understand the instruction. It doesn't matter if we're young or old. Today is a day to learn. To learn how to better serve God. to search the Word, to learn a truth that maybe we didn't understand before, or to better understand the truth that maybe we hardly understood. Today is a day to learn. Those of us that are wise will strive to do that today. Now, those are just a few things that the Word of God says is wisdom. Now, remember our question. Do we want to be wise? If we do, we'll strive for those things. But our second question is, where can I receive wisdom? What is the source of wisdom? Well, back to our text in James, the first chapter, verse 5 again answers this question. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. There's the source. You see, if you wanted to buy my car, where would you go to buy that car? You go to me, right? I own it. And you'd ask me, can I buy your car? Now, if you went to Brother Arthur Brown over there, he'd tell you, I can't sell you David's car. You'll have to go to David if you want David's car. You say, well, that's logical. I can understand that. Brethren, if we want godly wisdom, we have to understand there's no place to go except to God. God's the source of it. And if we think we can just hang around people that are wise and obtain godly wisdom, we're fooling ourselves. If we think that we can read books written by man to obtain godly wisdom, we're fooling ourselves. There's only one place to receive godly wisdom, and that's from God. James says it. If you lack wisdom, ask of God, who giveth to all men. This evening, do we believe that God is the source of wisdom? The verse, fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, is found three times in the Bible. You know, we should start to believe it after three times. It's found twice in Proverbs and once in Psalms. That's the beginning of wisdom. It's to fear God, at least have a respect for God, a respect that is fearful enough to obey. That's what it means to fear God. So if I'm going to obtain wisdom from God tonight, if I'm going to go to the source and say, God, I want wisdom, I'm asking you for wisdom, I must realize that I need to have enough respect for Him to obey Him. If you will, turn over with me to Psalms 119. In Psalms 119, we see that the psalmist had figured out the source of wisdom. And as I read over these verses, I've enjoyed reading these verses over the past few weeks. They're powerful. Notice what the psalmist says about going to God for wisdom. Psalms 119, verse 97. Oh, how love I thy law! It is my meditation all the day. Though through my commandments hath made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. Okay, so notice that. He's wiser than his enemies. I have more understanding than all of my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. The beginning of wisdom is to fear God. The continuation of growth through wisdom is to love the Word. He had more wisdom than his enemies. He had more wisdom than his teachers. He had more wisdom than his forefathers and those before him. Why? Because he loved the Word. Brethren, tonight, I can't go anywhere else and obtain wisdom. Nowhere else. Now, I might find some good things. And I might find some things that men have said that have been pulled from the principles of the Word. But all godly wisdom began in this book. So why do we want to look for it second-handedly? Let's go to the source of godly wisdom and let's search for it. But now before we leave this point about God being the source of wisdom, let's notice a very, very powerful point from this same text of James, the first chapter. Notice it said, "But if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth," now notice, "to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." Now if there is anything you and I have a problem with simply because of our human nature in giving, it is these two things: liberally and upbraideth not. You see, if you ask me to give to you, my human temptation is, how little do you need? God says, I give liberally. If you come over to my house and I tell you I'm going to give you enough apples to make an apple pie, you'll probably expect just enough apples for an apple pie. But now if I tell you I'm going to give you just a bunch of apples, you say, well, all I want is to make an apple pie. I want to say, well, I'm going to be much more liberal than that. What would you expect? You'd expect plenty of apples. Brethren, if we believe James to be an inspired word of God, we must believe that all we have to do is to meet the guidelines of this chapter. And God won't just give us wisdom. He'll give us an overflowing amount of wisdom. He says, I'll give you wisdom liberally. And not only liberally, but many times when we feel like we must give liberally, then we fall into the not obeying the upbraideth not part. We give with a little bit of resentment, a little bit of anger, a little bit of, now listen, I'm giving you this, but you just remember I'm giving it to you, okay? God doesn't give that way. He gives, and He gives liberally, and He doesn't scorn us for having to give to us. Wisdom, the source, is God. But now there is another question we need to ask. Can just anyone obtain wisdom? No. James tells us that there is a certain way the receiver must be. Notice as we read a little further. Verse 6. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Brethren, the receiver must be faithful. There's no way around it. Yes, we know what wisdom is. We know that God is the giver of wisdom, but James says the receiver must be faithful. I believe he, in this chapter, is implying several types of faith. One for sure is faithful in prayer, meaning that when we ask God, we must be faithful enough to believe Him and not pray and then say, well, I don't know if He heard my prayer. I don't know if He's going to answer my prayer. Don't be tossed to and fro like the sea in the wind. But ask in faith. But I think also he was referring just as well to our life being faithful with Christ. We can't be ungodly and ask in faith. It's impossible. We must be godly. Our lives themselves must be a life of faith for me to ask in faith. Notice also another condition with me, and that condition is in verse 8. This again is a condition of the receiver. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. No double-minded man is going to receive wisdom from God. What does that tell us? The implied opposite. A single-minded man can receive wisdom. Now, what is a single-minded man? Philippians, the second chapter in verse 2, says, "Fulfill ye my joy, that ye may be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, and of one mind." Now, what's that one mind? The mind of Christ. If I have the mind of Christ, if I have the single-mindedness of Christ, I am in a condition of faith that I can receive wisdom. Without it, I can't. All of us are familiar with Matthew, the sixth chapter. Verse 22 speaks of the singleness of the eye. The eye must be an eye of light, it says. Then in verse 23 it says, but if we're an eye of darkness, we're lost. Then in verse 24 it says, you cannot serve two masters. For either You will hate the one and love the other, or else you will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Tonight, am I faithful? You remember that original question? Do I want to be wise? I hope you wrote in your mind, yes, I want to be wise. But if you cannot answer the question, am I faithful, with yes, you have no way to receive God's wisdom in that condition. Tonight is a time to change that. And that's right after we ask the question, is it worth it to you to have wisdom? You see, we need to talk about wisdom in our houses, in our homes. We need to talk about wisdom in our Bible classes. We need to talk about wisdom from the pulpit. For some reason, it seems that wisdom has lost the degree of respect that it should have. All of us should have a personal goal to be as wise as possible in God's sight. Wisdom is from God. God is the source of wisdom. We have seen what wisdom is in God's sight. And now tonight, are you faithful enough to obtain that wisdom? If the answer at this point is no, do something about that tonight. Walk out of here a candidate for wisdom and ask of God. If you're not faithful, please look at your life tonight. If you've been faithful but yet you've fallen away, search for that wisdom. Be at least wise enough to come back as we stand and as we sing.